And a special announcement, and many of you have heard, and this is a combination of good news and bad news. It's bad news because many of us hurt over it. It's good news. What really, really happened? This past week, most of us know that Paul Markle passed away. Again, the bad news is we're going to miss him. We're truly going to miss him. The good news is he passed to somewhere else. And this Sabbath day, for the first time in his whole life, Paul has the honor to worshiping the living God face to face. Can you imagine that? I can't. I think that will be phenomenal. He also has a tremendous privilege of worshiping the living God with those who have gone before him. There are friends, there are relatives that he has not seen for a while, and he's with now. Now, I don't know if this is biblical or not, but I hope this is. The first thing I'm going to do when I get to heaven is this. For two reasons. One, I know is biblical. Over my life, that's a whistle my friends know and my family knows. I mean, when we're separated in Walmart, some of you try to find each other, you may yell out the other person's name. We've never done that as a family. We whistle. We don't look like a bunch of fools, and they pretty soon we hear whistle back, and we find each other. Another reason, I have a lot of dogs that I miss. Now, is that biblical to be there? I'm not sure. I sure hope they are. But that's going to be a great day when we see him face to face. This morning, we have the honor to worship him. We cannot see him, but that does not change the reality of his awesome presence here just as much as it will be someday in glory. Before we have our first song, we have an announcement. Would you come and make your announcement?
This will be very brief. There's a group of us that are going on the women's retreat next Saturday. And if you are among them, I need to talk to you for about 5 minutes after church today, just so we can figure out transportation. So I generally sit over here. If we could just come over here for a few minutes, that would be great. And we'll figure out how we're going to get there and back again. Thank you.
Thank you. And as we said this morning, there's one in this room we cannot see, but it is more real than the very ground we stand upon. And it is him. It is him. He is here. And let's begin our worshiping as we lift up our voices in song. Greg?
I invite you to turn to number 91. Number 91, and let's stand together. And we don't have 1,000 voices here, but let's make it sound like we do. Please stand.
My gracious.
Let us continue our worshiping of the living God as we give to him our tithes and offering. And before we do that, I want someone to introduce their brand new wife. Would you stand and introduce your wife to us? We haven't met her in this name. Well, go on, Erica. Yes.
Again, I wanted to thank you, Ed, for doing everything you guys did. It was an amazing ceremony, and everyone had a good time, so thank you very, very much.
We had a great time with it. Now, I have never had a wedding where the couple came in formally dressed with Converse tennis shoes on. That was unique. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we give to you our gifts. We know you are master and you own all of it. And so you really don't need anything from us. But yet you want us to give. Because it's an act of us saying that we trust you and we love you and we praise you. We put you beyond all these material things. And so out of that gratitude for relationship with you, we take it as an honor and a privilege that we can give. In Christ's name, amen.
I invite you to turn to 107.
Thank you.
first hymn has a verse that I really love. You know, the grace of God does forgive us. And really, in a sense, that is the easy part because it has been done. The hardest part is the power that those things from our past can still have over us. The power of guilt, the power of remembrance, the power of all that. And we, in the first song, I believe it's the third verse, says, he breaks the power. Doesn't say of sin, which he does. He breaks the power of canceled sin. You know, you can go to counselors, and the one thing they say they have a hard time dealing with is breaking that power of the canceled sins within people's lives. He breaks the power of canceled sin. Let's bow before him. Jesus, what an honor it is to come before you like this. Not because we are worthy, not because we feel so good, but because you, as God Almighty, welcome us. And it's not the image we portray that you embrace. It's who we really are to the very core of our being. Every closet that's within our psychic, every closet we try to keep closed even to ourselves, you want us to bring it to you. There is nothing that you want us to hide, because you want us, the one being in the universe who is the most awesome, the most perfect, want us as who we are. So we don't come before you with pretense. We come before you broken and shattered. We come before you, some with guilt, some with anger, some of us with resentment. We come before you confused. Some come with grief. We come before you with all those emotions and all that baggage. And we just give it to you. And what's beyond our comprehension is how you respond. That we think that the perfect one would see all that we really are and you would be disgusted by it. But when we bring it to you, you're almost like a child at Christmas time with a present. You're so excited to receive all of it because it's us being honest with you and really coming before you. And that's what you want. Fathers, we, the best we can, begin to bring that stuff and surrender it to you. Help us to trust you to deal with it. And Father, we use the phrase on purpose to help us to trust you. Because, Father, we hold on to that stuff, and it's so hard to deal with it. It's so hard and to really trust that you are in control is so hard. So help us. Father, we pray that as we continue this morning to worship you, we may experience your love and your presence and your awesomeness in a new way this day. Amen. Would all the kids come up front now? I have a message for you all. Come on up here. Come on up. Okay. I need you standing this time, guys. I need you to stand up here with me. Everybody stand up here. I know that's what we usually do, but today is a little bit different. Now, you notice anything different up front? What's different up here? Yes, this is here. Now, what's under there? Is this a magic deck? I'm going to go hocus pocus, and the table's gone? No. You'll still see the table. What's under there?
A table.
The table, you're right. What else, do you know? Bread and juice for communion. Now, what is communion? Okay, just hold on a second. Let's see. You guys know what communion is? Here, come up here. Stay close. Do you know what communion is? Okay, Jesus. Well, first, would you guys help me take this off? So if each one of you get a corner. You get that corner? Here. There he gets this corner. Okay, you go clear down here to this corner. All the way to the corner. Okay, we're going to pick it up high. Okay, then come towards me. Good job. Hold on to your corner. Don't let go of it yet. Let's try to fold this up first, okay? So you put your corner with his corner. And Kate, you put your corner with his corner. Okay, then you hold that. You hold that corner. And you go down and get that new corner we just made. Okay, now you let go here, and you hold onto that corner with both hands. There, okay, now pull it tight again. Okay, back up. Back up, that's it. Here. Just put it right like that. Here, right down here, right there. There you go, buddy. Okay, now let's get that taken care of there. Now, why don't you guys come in this way? Come together. Keep coming. And you give your corner to Caden. You give your corner over there. Nope, here. Here, you take that corner. There you go. Now you go down there and get the new corner. And you get that new corner. Oop, nope, the corner. You get that new corner down there, Jacob. Yep. Pull it up. You guys are doing a great job. Come in together again. Yep, and I'll take it.
Then it's folded.
Good job, buddies. Thank you. Okay, now, what we got up here. In here, what is that?
Bread,
you're right. What is that?
Juice,
yeah. Now, Jesus, when he was with his disciples for the last time, in a physical sense so they could see him, he wanted to give them something to help them remember that he was with them every day. Because would they see him anymore? Do you see Jesus?
No.
We can't. But is he here?
No.
Yes, he is. But we can't see him. So Jesus wanted to give his disciples, be his followers, something to help remind them that he was with them every day. And so what he did, he took bread. And bread is something they would eat every day. How many of you guys have bread every day usually? You have bread? You don't have bread?
Sometimes.
So he took bread, something to have, and he took it, and it was a bigger piece of bread, and he broke it. And he said, now, whenever you eat the bread and you break it, remember this. My body was broken for you. When was his body broken?
When he got on the cross.
On the cross, you're right. So he said, I want you to remember that my body was broken for you so you can have life. Then he took the cup and he blessed it and he said, now whenever you drink of juice, I want you to remember something. That my blood was shed so you can be forgiven. Where was his blood shed? On the, well, on the cross.
Yeah, on the cross.
Yeah, and then he told them to eat it and drink it. And there's something else he wanted them to remember. That every day you need food, don't you? What happens if you don't have food?
You get sick.
You'll get really sick. And so Jesus said, take it, eat. He said, I want you to remember that I give you strength to live every day. And then he took the cup and he said, drink it. And he said the same thing with the cup, brother. What happens if you don't have drink, if you don't have juice or water every day? You'll get really sick, won't you? He said, just like your body needs water and juice to live, you need me. And when you drink this, I want you to remember, it is my life that I put in you that gives you life. We're going to take communion here in a second, okay? I'm going to have you guys go down to the altar and kneel. We'll go down here. Walk down the steps. Okay, come right out here, guys. And kneel. This is a special time because it's the way Jesus really wants to communicate to us that he's with us. In a moment, I'm going to give you all a piece of the bread, okay? I want you to hold it until I tell you to eat it, okay? And then I'm going to take a cup, and each of them, I'm going to put a cup in front of you. And I want you to leave it alone until I tell you to take it and drink, okay? Can you all do that? Okay. Now again, Jesus wanted his disciples, and he wants you and me to remember that he's really here. And that he gave his life for you. That you really can have new life. And even though you can't see him, he's with you. And so to help remind them and to remind us, he took bread. First he blessed it. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you really give us life. And you give us a good life. Because you have come to be with us. You died on a cross. Your body was broken. So we may have life. Amen. Okay, he took his body, he had the bread, and he broke it. And he said, this is my body. Here, don't eat it yet. Which was broken for you. Take it. Just hold on. And he wanted them to remember, I'm with you. I give you life. So he said, take the bread and eat. And remember who's with you. Yeah, remember who's with you? Jesus is, isn't he? Every day. Likewise, he took the cup. He said, this cup, this represents my blood that was shed for you on Calvary. And I want you to remember that I bought you, that you are that special to me, and that I want to live in you and give you life. He told them to take the cup and to drink it. That every time they drink juice, to remember that he bought you. Okay. Stay back here. I'll sit it down. Okay, Bobby, stand back a little bit, buddy, so I can have the space here. Okay, don't touch it yet. Let's first pray, okay? Jesus, thank you so much for your awesome presence and that you do live in us and we have life in you. That as we take of this juice, let us remind ourselves that you want to live in us and that we are so special to you. Amen. Okay, take and drink. Whenever you drink juice, what do you remember?
What?
Yeah, that he bought you, right? That means that you are special to him. Real special. Okay. Let's close one more time with another prayer, okay? Jesus, thank you that we are so special. And that you know each one of our young folks here by name. You bought them with an awesome price. May they be reminded of that all the time, that you are with them and you know them by name. Amen. Okay, let me get the cups here. Whoop. You got it there, buddy? Thank you. Okay, you may head on out now. This morning, as we take communion here in a few moments, I want to just give us a little guidance. First of all, there's two ways to look at communion for a church. And the Brethren of Christ has come from both perspectives over the years. One is a closed communion, meaning only members of the church and those who are firmly committed to Christ can take it. The other is more of an open communion, meaning it's a means of grace. It's a way that God communicates his grace to us, which then means if you are truly seeking God when it comes to communion, you're welcome to participate. It's not you saying that your life's all together. It's saying that, God, I need you to put my life together. It's not saying you may not have tension with somebody. It's saying that, God, I need you to help me work through this because I can't do it. As the communion elements come, if that is the prayer of your heart, we ask you to receive them. The ushers will be momentarily handing them out to you, the elements. The bread will be first. We're going to stay seated during the whole time for both the bread and the juice. When this bread is handed out, we ask that you take one piece, hold it, then pass the tray to the person next to you. Do not eat it yet. And then on down through until then the ushers will take them at the very end. And then when everybody has their bread, we were all together partake. Then we'll go to the juice. And that will be handled a little bit different simply because juice can spill. So there's no sanctified reason why we're doing it different. It's just practical. So what we ask that is you have the tray. And as the ushers bring the tray down, that first that the usher, like for Greg, right here, that the usher will stand in the aisle, and Greg, you would take the cup and partake, put it back in, and you will take the tray and serve the person beside you. After the person beside you then has taken, they will take it and serve the next one. And then the ushers will collect them at the end of the pews, and we'll work through that way. Take your time. We'll stay seated throughout that time too. Scripture reading comes from both the Gospel of Matthew and the book of Revelation. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." They were all very sad and began to say to him, one after the other, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "You have said so." While they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." The book of Revelation. Chapter 22. Beginning with verse 17. The Spirit and the bride says, "Come." And then one who hears says, "Come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life." May God add his blessing and read of his word. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you're here. Thank you for the awesome reality of you. Amen. You know, communion, I've often wondered a number of things about it. That, you know, that you have two different aspects. That one is it's a very solemn time, and it is very symbolic. And another that it's a meal. It's a time we sit down and eat together. And the early church, they would have communion that they would really have kind of like a potluck supper when they would get together. And then they would have communion. And the Bible talks, too, about that last, I mean, in heaven, the great feast to sit down with Jesus at a table. And Mickey reminded me of this, and I got thinking more about what is so special about mealtime. And I learned this from Mickey's family more so than from my own, that when, you know, we get together with her family at mealtime, there is a lot of food. And Mickey's mom is one of those ones that just loves to cook and make every son-in-law just love her to death. And there's good desserts and everything else. And there's a big clan, and the clan's gotten bigger over the years. Now, I have a special place that I sit, and it is at the end of the table like this. And there's the window behind me and the chairs here with everybody else. And I discovered I was the first in-law to come into the family. And I got this place because nobody else wanted it, because you can't get out. And at times, when the family got bigger for a little bit, they had to have an extended table with the kids. And the first one, and a new daughter-in-law came in, and the first one who got kicked out of the family table was me. And they all laughed and said, "Chuck, remember, you're an in-law. And you're a son-in-law or a brother-in-law, not a daughter-in-law or a sister-in-law. But eventually I got back, I don't know what happened, but I got back to the main table. And when we sit down and eat with her family, it is a riot. You're eating of the food, but it is a riot of the conversation. They're making fun of each other. They're telling stories. It is just a great time. And when the meal is over, some will leave, but most folks in the family just stay put. And pretty soon, they just start telling stories. And, you know, in May, we lost Mickey's dad. But I can remember sitting there, and Mickey's dad would start telling stories, and Mickey's dad would get telling a story and laughing so hard he would have to get a Kleenex and wipe his tears because he's crying as he's laughing, and he's telling a story. And we all would be laughing together. And the special thing about the mealtime was the fellowship. The fellowship. And then we got talking, and Mickey especially, and she's the one that got me thinking about this more. It was after her father died, and she goes, I can't wait till heaven, that it talks about a mealtime and sitting down with Jesus. And it's not going to be, and I think she's accurate, it's not going to be that we're going to sit down, and I'll be prim and proper, have our napkins just right and everything, and don't put your elbows on the table. It's not going to be that. It is going to be a family time. And there is going to be laughter. There is going to be telling stories. There's going to be picking on each other. You know, the joke was that Mickey's youngest brother sat at the end, and food would go this way around. And I discovered why. And he was always like that with him. Because Bobby was such a good eater that they wanted to make sure he got the food last. Because if he didn't, there'd be not enough left on the tray for the rest of us. And the joke was, every time we get together, this comes up again. That they said when they were little, there was four boys and Mickey, and they could eat. That when her mom fixed fried chicken, they would have about 40 pieces of chicken, and it would be all gone. And if you dropped your napkin or anything on the floor, you didn't go down to pick it up. Because if you did when you came up, your chicken was gone. And that would be told every time we got together. And the laughter. And to think, the reality is that when we're with Jesus in heaven, we're going to have a feast. And the emphasis of the feast is not the food, but it's going to be being together and having fun together at the table and not being prim and proper so much so that that becomes more the focus than the people, but that people will be more of the focus. And we'll have a great time. Wanda and Cindy, your dad is having a great time at a meal table that you cannot imagine how much fun is happening right now around that meal table. And I'm looking forward to that. I don't want to go tomorrow, but I'm looking forward to it. And in a few moments when we take communion, I like that to be our focus. This is a family time. And there's many ways to focus on communion. And sometimes it can be very, very solemn, and that's okay. I mean, these of them is good because there's so many dimensions to it. But today I want us to focus. This is family time. This is a meal time. This is a time of being together. This is not a time for you to come and eat individually. This is a time for us to do it together and to be a family. So when the bread comes, hold it. We're going to eat together. And it's when it's being passed around through, if someone does something by mistake that's kind of foolish, you can point your finger and grin at them. It's a family time. The same when the Jews goes by. This is family. And you know the beautiful thing about family is the commitment of family to be committed to each other. Not that it's always easy. And not that it's not hard to work through things. But we do. And when one falls down, we're together and we pick each other up. That's family. We can laugh together. We can make fun of each other together. That's family. That's family. And that's what Jesus has called us to be a family. Not to the easy road. You know, some of us got relatives that we may not be, we wish we didn't have at times. But guess what? They're your relatives, your family. So as we partake, let's partake around a table as family. There is a little ritual in the bulletin. Don't worry about it right now. Just leave it there. Ushers, would you come forward? Jesus was with his disciples for the last time in a physical sense at a meal. He wanted to remind them, give them a reminder that would be with them every day of the reality of his presence. So he took bread that they would have at every meal, and he took it and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you." Meaning that every time you break bread, remember what I did for you. And he said, take and eat. With the cup, again, we ask you to partake of it as soon as it comes to you. So Jesus again with his disciples for the last time, and he wanted to give them that reminder. And he took juice, and then it was a weak version of wine. Well, it's juice. And he said, "See this cup? Let that juice remind you something of my blood that shed for you in Calvary. I bought you. So every time you sit down, partake, and you see that juice, remember, I shed my blood for you. I bought you." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you did buy us, that we were so precious to you. You gave the most awesome price. And I can't imagine the feeling at Calvary that you felt when you watched your boy die. And you had to watch him suffer, and you turned your back, and you were separated from him. I can't imagine that agony. But you did that for me. You did that for us. And you took the worst possible event and you conquered it. And new life came. As we partake this morning of the juice, may we be reminded of the new life that's in you on a daily basis. Amen. Shed for you on Calvary. His blood was shed for you at Calvary. Shed for you. As you take the juice, just a reminder, the folks before you will be putting an empty cup in. So do look and make sure you get a full cup and not an empty one. Take and drink and feed on him.
I invite you to turn to your blue book if you need to, but the song we'll be singing is The Family of God. And let's stand together.
God, who is your Father, the one who bought you, the awesome one, the one who has brought us together as a family. May he go with you, and may his mighty arms pull us all together. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.